What's up, everybody? I use an Evo 4G. My name is Austin Neely, and get ready for the most amazing Android podcast ever, the Android Central Podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode 21 for Thursday, July 15th, 2010. And this is quite possibly going to be the world's largest podcast. We have two giant phones to talk about. We have a giant chat room that's just, it's already insane. It's nuts in there. We have more moderators than we have phones to talk about, I think. So when the chat room gets out of hand, and it will, because I know how you guys are, we're going to lay the smack down. And we also have two of the best podcasters in podcasting, I think, to talk about phones. We got Jerry Hildenbrand from AndroidCentral.com.
Howdy.
And we got Mickey Papillon, a.k.a. the Cell Phone Junkie. And both these guys are here regularly. If you're new to the podcast, we talk Android phones and Android robots and Android androids and whatever else we can think of. We talk beer a lot, too, don't we?
Yeah.
Before the show.
So that's that. So we just jumped into it because we have more news than I know what to do with. The Droid X was released today. The Samsung Vibrant was released today on T-Mobile. Something else probably happened. The oil stopped today. The oil out in the Gulf is stopped. I live in the Gulf, so I'm very happy about that. What else? Did anything else happen today? Have I missed anything?
I went to Sears.
Anything good at Sears?
Oh, they got lawnmowers in, a whole bunch of new lawnmowers. They look sweet.
All right, don't care about that. What about you, Mickey? Well, what have you been up to?
Well, just, you know, same old, same old. Really excited. I talked on the show last week about getting the 12C pictures, the HP 12C calculator, one of the financial calculators that's very well known in many financial circles. And someone actually had one and took a picture with it, and the Droid X. So we're going to do something with all these pictures because it's really funny, I think, just because I jokingly at one point said to someone, the Droid X is the same size as the 12C. It was not that far off. That's what the scary part is about it. So I guess that's kind of interesting. I'm not sure what we're going to do with them yet, but we'll figure out something fun.
Well, it ain't a Droid X and it ain't a Samsung Vibrant, so we're not going to talk about it anymore. I don't have the Vibrant here yet. I have the Vibrant here sometime next week, I think, but I do have the Captivate, which is the AT&T version of the Samsung Galaxy S. So kind of know what we're talking about. Anybody in the chat room go pick up a Vibrant? I feel bad. Let's start with a Vibrant because we kind of have ignored it today. The Droid X was released, and it's literally and figuratively the big daddy. But the Vibrant's out. It's a big phone. It's an important phone, especially for T-Mobile. So what about chat room? Anybody pick up a Vibrant today on T-Mobile? Nobody?
It's a couple of people who actually used the phone, but not actually picked it up. So
yeah, and you know, T-Mobile hasn't done the same sort of marketing that nobody's done the same sort of marketing that Verizon has with the Droid line, right? I don't know. Do you think it's just another phone for T-Mobile?
Maybe. I mean, they were the ones who kicked off Android, right? They have always been, had one or two devices in their lineup, and this is going to be, I think, a good one to carry them through the rest of 2010. And, it's got, you know, the specs that you need. It's, you know, it is what it is. And if you're on Timo and you're looking for Android, this is the way to go. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree. It seems like T-Mobile only ever wants to talk about Project Emerald, you know, so for the past few months. But if they would advertise the Vibrant a little bit, I think they might have a really big seller on their hands.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just Jerry. I don't make those kind of decisions, and there's probably a really good reason for that.
So, yeah, I mean, it's an important phone. I like the Captivate a lot. I've only had it for a day now. But we've got our video up showing the benchmarks, and let's talk about benchmarks for a second. I know they're important. I know people love them. I'm kind of tired of them, and maybe I'm just tired of doing benchmarks. But I mean, they're just numbers, right? I mean, it was fun to do, and I know I name dropped last week about doing benchmarks with the Samsung engineers in a bar, but, I mean, for guys like that, I understand, but for normal users, and even for you and me, should we really put that much weight into what benchmark tests do? Should we look more at what the phone actually does in real use?
Yes. The benchmarks are just a bunch of numbers. You know, they might give you an idea, but, number one, there is no benchmark program that's written to take advantage of all the instruction sets on all the different processors and graphics mm-hmm. chips. So, you know, how can you really benchmark one against the other if the benchmark program doesn't work the same way on both phones?
True. And, you know, and that's why we use different benchmarks, right? We use Linpack for the CPU and NeoCore for the graphics. And I had another graphics one. There's that Quadrant one. But Quadrant was always a little shady to me because it shoots the numbers up to somebody and then, you know, spits them back at you and compares them to other phones. But I don't know who it's going to. I don't know what they're doing to them.
Well, what gets me is the Quadrant numbers are always so different than what everything else tells you. So I just wonder exactly what's going on.
So I don't know. So I didn't do the Quadrant numbers on this last batch and just didn't care to. But I ran Asphalt 5 on all four phones. Did the Nexus with Froyo. Actually, it was running a Cyanogen Mod 6. The Captivate with 2.1, the Droid X with 2.1, and the Evo 4G with 2.1. And the Captivate, the Samsung Galaxy S, just blew them all out of the water. And I knew that already because I'd seen them side by side. But it's good to have on video finally. And this thing... It's such an odd phone. All of the Galaxy S phones are light as a feather, but they are so strong. They are so powerful. Dual core, I don't care. This phone, I think, could last me for a year. Easily. I say that now.
Yeah, maybe. Phil will be getting the next new one that comes out.
That's my job, though.
Yeah. Poor Phil. It's such a hard, terrible job.
What do you think, Mickey? You've been kind of...
Phil, mm-hmm. what kind of... what's your personal SIM card in right now?
My personal SIM card's still in the Nexus, but that's because I got... There's a review card with the Captivate. I could use the Captivate. I really think I could.
Over the Nexus.
You know, here's something else I want to talk about. Actually, before we get into that... Look, no, I could use any one of these phones. I could use the Evo... I could use the Droid X and, you know, and I've used all these phones, you know, off and on for, you know, good amounts of time. But let's talk about the new TouchWiz and stock Android. And I think we need to redefine what Android is. I think people hear Android and they think the stock experience that you get on, you know, the Droid and on the Nexus One and that, you know, that's Android. Sure. That's stock Android, but yeah, I mean, Android's more than just a launcher. It's more than just home screens, right? Jerry, you see where I'm going?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. And you're on the right. Just go, baby, go.
So you have Android, which is a platform. And with it, you have the stock experience, and that's fine. And then you have what the carriers and manufacturers do to it. And that's TouchWiz. That's the non-blur, Moto Blur. I know everybody calls it Fill Blur now. That's great. Thanks. What else do we have? We have, Sense, HTC Sense, of course. Sense, I think, is really, and I think Sense is really the heaviest skin of them all at this point. And I like Sense, but for some reason, it's still just not for me. I don't need it. But what Motorola has done and what Samsung has done, I could use. Like, I would get rid of most of the custom widgets anyway, probably. Mm-hmm. But everybody keeps hating on what customizations have been done. You know, can I turn off TouchWiz? Can I turn off Moto Blur? Can I turn off Sense? No, you can't. It's not a switch that you just turn on and off. I didn't mean to climb up on a soapbox this early.
No, that's all right. It needs said. We all need to say it all the time. It's Android, but it's with a paint job on it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly what it is. This captivated. I mean, the Galaxy S line is just so fast. I wish it had 4G. That's like the only thing it's missing. If it had a 4G, it would totally just be the next gen phone for the next 8-10 months. Kind of like the Droid was for as long as it has been. That's what I think.
As somebody said, then it'd be epic.
It's coming. We don't know when the Epic's coming. We don't know when the Fascinate's coming. We're hearing mid-August for the Epic. I don't know. I was telling my mom about the Epic today. She's like, so should I get... Because she was going to get an Evo, but she kind of wants a keyboard. I was like, well, you might just wait for a little bit. What else? You know, it doesn't have the HDMI out, and I can live with that. That really doesn't bother me. In fact, I finally got an HDMI cable, a micro HDMI cable. Turns out I don't actually have an HDMI port in my house on any of my TVs.
That's great.
Because I have old TV. I mean, they're not, like, ancient. But they're not brand new. I don't have flat screens in here yet. And I'm poor. I buy too many phones.
Is there one on your cable or satellite box? Did you check that?
Mm-mm. No,
that's
I checked.
How I had to use it when I played with it was through the.
I check cables. Everywhere. Looked under the bed. Looked out back. I don't know. talk about some of the. I mean, there's not that much like stock on the home screen of the Galaxy S line. I mean, they've got some widgets. They got the daily briefing widget, which is, you know, weather, stocks, and news. But it's not. It's almost too flashy. When I first saw the Galaxy S, you know, the Euro version at CTIA, your first impression is, damn, this is a very colorful phone. And these widgets that they have built in kind of reflect that. Absolutely. They're very colorful, but not a whole lot of information. It's like USA Today versus the Wall Street Journal for anybody who actually still reads newspapers. You know, it's flashy versus just all the news that's fit to print. I know, I'm using dead metaphors.
Better than mine.
what else? What else do you want to know about it?
So you said it would be like the phone of the year if it wasn't for if it had 4G. That was your comment?
Oh, I think it's in the running. It does have the Super AMOLED screen. It's 4 inches. 4 inches is a good size. I like 4 inches a lot. It doesn't feel big. The Captivate is kind of the least favorite form factor out of the Galaxy S line that's coming to the U.S. for me. It's more angular. It's not as round as the T-Mobile version or the Verizon version. So
Storm
I'll be
two.
Interested. What's that?
Storm 2.
Storm 2.
Just like one.
It kind of does. It's a tad wide for me, you know, like compared to the Nexus or the Droid, but it still feels really good in the hand, and it's so light. You kind of can't get over that. I like the screen a lot. It's not, you know, if you put it next to an iPhone 4, you're still going to absolutely see the difference. You're still going to see tiny little individual pixels if you're looking for them. But even that kind of tech doesn't really do it for me. Like, I wouldn't not buy a phone because it didn't have a Retina display. Outside, it works pretty well. I like the colors. I think the colors are reproduced very, very well. So, all in all, it is a very, very solid phone. My only worry, big worry on the hardware side, is the battery door because it's made out of metal or aluminum or something, right? And it's actually part of the antenna. It's got little contacts that tied into the rest of the body. Yeah. I worry about scratching it. So, I don't know. I mean, a case will fix that. So.
How about camera
and it doesn't
video?
Have a flash. What's
what about
that?
Camera and video?
I haven't tested those yet. I need to. I'll do that tomorrow. And I've read some people just aren't that impressed with it. I mean, it's a 5 megapixel camera and no flash. No flash is kind of not crazy about that.
Yeah. What about Pappy Jump? I'll bet you've tested that.
What about what?
What is it called? Pappy Jump? What game do you like to play?
Oh, Doodle Jump.
Doodle Jump, yeah.
Doodle Jump. Oh, yeah, no. Doodle Jump runs just fine. No, I've tested all the games that I normally play. That's how I test phones. I play Doodle Jump. I play Archipelago. And Seismic. That's, you know, those are like the only 6 apps I ever use, except for the stuff that I use to actually test a phone. What do you guys think? I mean, you've seen a little bit of TouchWiz. Does it look like something you could use?
Well, first off, does it have a flux capacitor on it? It seems to have everything else.
It almost does. I'm pretty sure if I threw this thing 88 miles per hour.
Take us back in time and it would turn into a razor.
It's got a little sliding door over the USB port.
I saw that on your video. That's I don't know why I love that.
It's awesome. I mean, I leave it open all the time because I'm always plugging and unplugging phones. But I think if I was a normal person, I would love that because, you know, you don't have to worry about getting dust in it. So that's great. There's nothing about this phone that's not solid despite how little it weighs. Oh, you know what else I really love is the lock screen because it's just you just stick your thumb anywhere on the screen and flick it off and it unlocks. So there's not a little slider to hit.
Does it have those crazy notifications on the lock screen like the
yes,
ancient, they're like little puzzle pieces?
Little puzzle pieces, and
oh,
I
God,
didn't notice that until today.
No.
Yeah, no, there's so much in this phone, and maybe I'm just excited because I'm reviewing something that's not Sense. And nothing against Sense and HTC. I love them, but I'm just, it's kind of been overkill because I think I've done like 5 phones. But no, there's just so much little stuff that Samsung has done. Kind of like Motorola's done with the new non-blur Moto Blur, Fill Blur. So there really is a lot of good stuff. Like when you're playing music with this thing, and it goes back to the lock screen, there's actually a little music tab that shows up at the top of the screen, and you can just pull it down while the rest of the screen is locked. You pull it down, you can change songs, fast forward, change the volume, whatever. And it's right there on the lock
screen.
Locked,
and you can't bump dial it or anything, yet you can still use the music controls. Let me just be clear. That's
exactly.
Beautiful.
It's very, very cool. So they've done a very nice job with this just in the 24 hours that I've been using it. It's going to take some playing with to really get into this thing. It's not all AT&T crapped up. I mean, it's got the AT&T stuff on it, sure. But it doesn't really bother me like other phones have. So I really am excited about this phone. This is the first, I think, really good Android phone on AT&T. You know, the Aria was fine. It's small. But chat room's asking, is it crippled? Yes, it's crippled. don't call it crippled. The phone is just fine. But you are limited to apps from the market. You cannot sideload apps unless you install them through the SDK, which actually works just fine because I did that today. Sucks, but that's what AT&T wants. So deal with it. Galaxy S has already been rooted. I think you can do custom ROMs. I can't remember. So I would go that route.
Anybody out there that's an AT&T subscriber and is a little bit handy, hit me up in the forums. I'll help you write a one-click little Windows application to sideload any app you want. No SDK.
Oh, you know, we should do that.
We can do that.
Yeah, no, I can do that. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just a nice batch file and a pretty icon in a folder, and that's taken care of. We don't have to worry about that anymore.
Oh, that's stupidly easy. Why didn't we think of that until now? Man.
I don't know. And yes, we'll call it the Android Central Sideload Wonder Machine. Thank you, Mino Mobile.
Multi-touch on it works just fine. I did that old test that we usually do. What else? That's about it. I mean, we're going to have a lot more on the site. We're going to have a full review. I'm trying to decide how to do it because we have 4 phones to do, right? And the Epic will be different because it has a keyboard. And they all have slightly different UIs and just tweaks.
I think what I'm seeing most about the Captivate is, you know, TouchWiz, we're all a little bit worried about it based on what we've seen from Samsung's TouchWiz before.
It is not the TouchWiz of old.
And it looks like a lot of the ideas, a lot of the things that we love about Sense and things that we love about stock Android, they're in there too. Like you were saying, the music that, you know, Sense does that. I love that. I'm so glad it's in there. Mm-hmm. And then the little odd things like the puzzle pieces, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't like this.
You will like this. I like it a lot. We need to find out how much it is off contract. I've got feelers out. They haven't announced it yet. So as soon as we know, you will know. Because if I could get this for $400, I would buy it. I think. Probably.
Yep. Then I can put a T-Mobile SIM in it and use that cheap plan because it's an AT&T phone and I'll be the happiest man on the mountain.
So let's switch to the Droid X. It is out today. They sold out. They're gone. I went to the store this morning and was going to buy one and got there too late. I got there a little before 9 o'clock thinking they opened up at 9 o'clock and they'd opened up early, of course, and was like 20 people down on the list. And they're like, yeah, we have phones for, everybody but you basically. And the date we've seen, and I've seen it from a couple sources, and it's also up on Verizon's website, is they'll start shipping again on the 23rd. So that's basically in, what, a week? Or shipping by the 23rd, so that's kind of an outside window. And Mickey, does that surprise you at all that they sold out that quick?
Did they not say, was it yesterday or the day before? We've got plenty of stock. We'll be
fine. That's not what they said. Well, it's sort of what they said, yeah. I mean, what else are they going to say? No, we don't have enough. We're worried. I would rather sell out.
Anything if they don't have enough. That's what they say.
Well, you know. Right. But, I mean, would you rather them sell out or would you rather them be sitting on the stock? I mean, as a retailer, as a carrier, which would you rather have? You want your phone to be in demand.
Of course you do.
Now, you want to be able to fulfill it.
Here's what makes me so excited about this is you have – there's such interest in the X that it is basically gone. I mean, you can't get this anywhere. You have to order it, and you're going to have to wait to get it. That's a very telling thing about people and wanting to stick with Verizon. And, you know, as hot as a device like the iPhone is, it is still not the device that everyone wants to have. And so it makes me pretty happy to know that the Droid X, you can't go and just pick one up still at, you know, 8 p.m. on launch day. You would have had to get there 12 hours ago in order to get one. So I'm pretty happy about that because it's very telling of what people are looking for these days.
If you want one, order it. That's what I would recommend at this point.
Yeah, even way out here in the middle of nowhere, you know, I don't have a local Verizon store, but there's one not too far away, sold out, and they got 80 of them.
This is the first launch, and I've gone to – what other phones did I go to? I went to the Incredible – there wasn't an Incredible launch, but I went to the store the morning that the Incredible was available, and it was just like any other day in our local Verizon store here in Pensacola. And I went there today, and the place was bumping. I mean, there were people waiting. I was actually greeted. I mean, I almost had a good experience except for the fact that, you know, I couldn't buy a phone. But sat around talking to some guys sitting there, some nerds. They knew Crackberry. They didn't know Android Central, but they knew Crackberry. But they're coming to Android now. So, sorry, Kevin. Sorry, Crackberry.
What's the desire for people to go with a device that's that much bigger? Is it that it's not too big? I mean, I'm looking at it compared to pictures, and it just.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought I would choose the Incredible, but I mean, everyone seems to think that, you know, the Droid X is that much better. They were canceling Incredible orders and going with the X, you know?
It's a big phone, but...
Is 4.3 inches, is that the size? Have we been blindsided by 3.5?
That's going to be, I mean, that's, everybody's going to have to make their own. For me, I'll use the Evo as an example. You know, the Droid X is about the same size.
Mm-hmm.
For using it, check my email, maybe play a game, look up, you know, something on the internet. It's great. I just don't feel comfortable using it as a phone. It's a little bit too big against my head, and that's just me. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with the size. It's just a little bit bigger than I'm comfortable with.
Well, your head's too small. That's the problem.
Oh, that could be. Maybe I'll start watering it and spend more time out in the sun.
It's a big phone. It is a big, big phone. But, you know, spec-wise, it's awesome. If you don't mind the size, if you don't mind a little extra size, I think it's great. You know, it's taller than the Evo, if there is such a thing. I mean, there is such a thing, right? The Evo is a tad wider and a little thicker. So I really think 4 inches is a nice sweet spot. 3.7 I'm fine with. You know, the Nexus One, for me, I have small hands, you know, so the Nexus One is like a perfect size for me. But 4 inches I'm perfectly comfortable with as well, and I'm looking forward to, you know, using these other phones coming out.
Yeah,
the Metal Pack still.
One of the videos that you showed us, you know, while you were making them and just passing them around for us to look at, you had the Captivate and the Nexus One side by side. Mm-hmm. I really think that 4-inch would be much more comfortable for me to use as a phone. So, you know, that little 0.3 inches, it does make a difference.
Oh, absolutely. That's what she said. I went there! How, man, it took us that long. The chat room's kind of freaking out, but yeah, somebody had to say it. Sorry. I don't know how much more I can say about the Droid X. We've got our big review up. If you haven't read it yet, we'll have links in the show notes, of course. And there are links all over the site to it. If you haven't seen it, go read it. We've got 10 minutes with the Droid X. You know, you really can't fit a good walkthrough with these phones into 10 minutes. So I think I'm going to break down the Galaxy S stuff into shorter and shorter videos. So we'll see.
Sounds good.
That's it. That's the podcast, everybody. See you later. No other news. Oh, ooh, look at that. There's more news.
Yay!
Let's talk about the Droid X bootloader for a minute, Jerry, because that kind of came and went this morning a little bit. No sooner did we post your excellent... No, and I really love what Jerry wrote. Here's the deal with the bootloader. No, we'll let Jerry tell it. I don't want to tell him. Make Jerry tell it.
Oh, tell it, gee, thanks. Well, first off, if... What was it? I don't want to say the wrong site. Droid Life, I think it was, you know, broke.
My Droid World, I think.
My Droid World, yes.
Yes.
If that's true, and right now, I'll be honest with you, we don't know what's true until we hear it from Motorola or find out that it is true and we've got a broken phone to look at. There's right. No other way we're going to know what's true. If it's true, you'll be able to root the phone. The phone will work just as designed. It'll work. We've seen videos. It works great. It works beautifully. But it's, I don't know, what word am I looking for, Phil? Not sabotaged, but it's, they've designed
booty trapped. No.
Okay. I mean, I just didn't want to go there. If you try to change the Motorola approved software, it's going to make a click noise and turn off and not turn back on. Yeah, I hate to think about that. I personally don't see that. I don't see how that could be true because there's just so many other ways that that could backfire. And then they've got 50,000 brick phones they've got to deal with.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just me. Maybe they've weighed out what's best and done whatever. If it's not true, it's still going to be like the milestone. Motorola has said that, yes, it's encrypted. They've been trying to break the encryption on the milestone for, what, about 8.5 months now?
Mm-hmm.
So it's – if you buy the X and it's a great phone, I mean, don't think of this as not a reason to buy it performance-wise. But if you buy it, you might want to just, you know, live with the fact that you'll probably be able to root it one day and use all the little cool programs that are for root only, but you're not going to do things like put Cyanogen mod on it, or when Gingerbread comes around, you're not going to be able to look. Phil at Android Central made a post. This is how you can, download Gingerbread and manually install it. You're not going to be able to do that kind of thing. So you're just going to have to decide, you know, I'm really upset with Motorola for not saying yes or no. That's my biggest problem. If they want to do it, do it. It's their choice, but at least tell us so we don't have to sit here and wonder and not know what to do.
Yeah. And then an old blog post from Motorola showed up yesterday. And we referenced it again too. I think it started at Android and me, but the post is back from February actually. So it's not new.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't Motorola responding to all this recent Droid X stuff. This was old. It was an old post, but I think it's still applicable where they basically said, look, we did something different with a Droid. We're not going to continue that. And if you want a dev phone, go get a dev phone. The Nexus One is a dev phone. The original Android dev phones that Google, you know, produced before the Nexus One, those are dev phones. Use them. And you know what? It sucks. But that's the way that, you know, Motorola wants it. Just like AT&T wants to lock things into the market. That's the way they want it. And I understand people are screaming, hey, that's against the Android way and the whole Android philosophy. Well, yes and no. That goes back to Android as a platform, and it's provided to the manufacturers and the carriers to do with as they want. And maybe I'm a little more accepting of that coming from Windows Mobile like I did, and I'm just used to it. I'm used to the game of cracking it open. But, you know... As long as they're within the standards of the open source project and the Open Handset Alliance, then
exactly.
It's theirs to do with what they want.
What Android is all about is do whatever the heck you want to do with it. Here it is. And that's what they're doing.
Yep. Sucks, but I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, you can kick and scream all day. It's not going to change Motorola's mind, probably. You can start petitions, you can threaten lawsuits, whatever. But as long as they're, you know, within their right to do it, then so be it.
Well, you know, I was a little bit more upset yesterday than I am today. Mm-hmm. And it's all because of a video that you, I think you put it up on the post about the X being sold out, since we're talking about the X still.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows people in, what was it, Columbia, Maryland, where they had a
It was a Verizon promo video of happy people buying phones. Very much, I mean, when you watch it, it absolutely looks like an iPhone kind of promo video of people buying their iPhones that day, you know.
And it made me realize that you and I and Mickey and probably at least 90% of the chat room and, you know, a good portion of the people listening to us, we're not normal. We worry about
you need a video to tell you that?
Well, you know, no, actually, Mickey, if you haven't watched it yet, I'll track it down and email it to you, because it would probably do you a little bit of good. It did me a world of good. It showed me just how much of a cell phone geek that I am when I saw normal, everyday people on the street happy because they can download an app to help them with chemistry tables. Happy because it has an HDMI out port. Nobody was worrying about routing or e-fuses or anything like that, and it made me feel a lot better about the phone.
Not to get off on a tangent, but Verizon does not need the iPhone right now. Hey, Mickey, you're an iPhone user, and you're a proud iPhone user most of the time, unless you're using an iPhone 4, I hear. Are you a little more accepting of something like this because of that, because of your iPhone kind of background?
Probably, and maybe it's just because I don't care quite as much, but we need to set the record straight. I took the iPhone 4 back. I don't have it anymore. Too many issues. You know, antenna issues, proximity sensor issues, and AT&T HSUPA issues. So those are the three things it went back.
You on a BlackBerry again?
I always have a BlackBerry. That's my primary work phone. I'm going back and, you know what? I got to figure out what I got to do. And it's either a Nexus 1 or it's something else, but I'm not sure what it is right now. Right now I'm bouncing between an old Edge HTC Diamond and an old iPhone first generation right now till I figure out what I'm going to do. It's terrible. I'm really thinking about the Nexus 1. You know,
every time I think of that old Diamond
version, but I'm obviously we get the AT&T version because I've still got a year left on my contract, but
sure.
We'll see what happens, but that's kind of the way I'm leaning.
The Droid 2 appeared in a leaked summer catalog the BGR got. Really nothing to say about that catalog, except for the Fascinate wasn't in it for Verizon, so we still don't know when that's coming. But the Droid 2, you know, it's all but official. So it's just a matter of time. And they better beef it up a little bit, because Samsung's bringing some game. I think we've talked enough about that. What else? Jerry got to play with the MyTouch 3D Slide.
Yep.
Speaking of T-Mobile phones, we've totally ignored. real quick, you want to talk about that?
It was a great little phone. I was surprised. You know, I had preconceived notions of, oh, this has a slow processor, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. I guess it's, you know, smaller screen size. It worked snappy and fast. You know, I don't have quite as good videos as some of the other people out there do, but I put up one, you know, just walking through the software. You can see it zips. It zips along, you know, and it reminds me the way the OS was fluid and the way it acted. It acts more like the Droid or the Nexus than any other Sense phone did. It's fast. You know, the multimedia, you can tell it's more of an entry level or middle of the road device in some areas, but it's, you know, for a phone, use it for a communications device. It's got a beautiful keyboard on it once you get used to where all the alternate characters are, which is really the only bad thing I could say about it. And I know it bothered Phil a little bit too. Everything is silk screened in the same color, and when the backlight comes up, everything comes up just white. So you have to look and try to find where the parentheses or the greater than sign is, which is a little bit of a pain in the butt. But it's a great little phone, and I wouldn't be afraid to use it at all. And my wife actually decided that if we ever do switch away from Sprint, that's the phone she'd want, especially in red, just because she played with it for a little bit.
And, you know, maybe part of my problem with the keyboard is just because I'm bouncing between phone and phone.
Yeah.
you know, so often. I still don't think it's as good as the Touch Pro 2, but I don't want to get back into that. So we'll have a link in the show notes to Jerry's review, so you can go read that if you haven't already.
Well, I just I'm really happy to see that he's, you know, he did some camera pictures, and the shots are decent. It's nice to
see because I took them.
You took all these pictures?
Oh, pictures with the phone, you mean?
Yeah, pictures with the phone.
Oh, yeah.
These are not your pictures.
No, okay, these are in the hands of an unskilled photographer. And I'll be
I am very happy to see that the Wi-Fi router is safely in place in the office.
Different Wi-Fi router, but yeah. I have two service connections here. Big, long story, but that's not the one I use for the porch. That's just a little one I have to use for a separate line.
I see. You guys ever go swimming in the neighbor's pool? That looks pretty nice. Nice hot days, you know?
Oh, that's my pool.
Oh, that's behind my garage. Holy cow.
It's behind my garage because look at the big hill. It's the only place I had to put it.
Is that the, why it's GB Hill?
No, that's my name, Hildenbrand.
It's Hildenbrand? Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
Okay, so,
I just, HP, there's no close up of the pool because of all the leaves that are in it. So,
So but HP has killed
the satellite dish.
Damn it!
Yeah, we're gonna keep talking over you, Phil. We're gonna keep talking about these pictures.
Well, that was so I could show the Zoom. That was laid back in a old plastic lounge chair with the Zoom cranked the whole way up, and what was right up in front of me was the satellite dish on the corner of the house. So that's what I took a picture of.
Are those Datsuns?
Yeah.
Nice. Are they in like a walker, or what do you got going on here?
You know, those little handheld leashes that you can hook and they got like a 20-foot. I drove a stake in the ground at this corner of the deck and I just tied them to it.
And so they just hang
around.
There.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
All right, chat room. On the count of three, everybody type Mickey root your phone.
Oh, stop it. No.
All right, let's burn through the rest of the hardware stuff real quick. HP killed off the Android tablet that never was. No great surprise there. There's a really interesting kind of weird, almost Palm Pre-ish looking Motorola phone that has Verizon branding on it that I think Engadget got. And everybody pretty much poo-pooed it on site, right? Nobody liked that at all. What else? The Dell Streak come out anytime now. Engadget got photos leaked to it of... Basically, they cornered off a section of an AT&T store and won't let anybody look in. And I can't believe they're doing all that just for the Dell Streak. That seems a little odd. Anybody? Well, no?
I don't know. They could really make a big seller out of that if they wanted to. Maybe that's what they want to do.
Oh, hey, look at that. Mickey emailed me asking when his phone will get Froyo. Believe it or not, Mickey, you're not the first one to ask tonight.
Well, wait a minute. How is the BlackBerry or the iPhone 1 going to get Froyo, Mickey?
I don't know, but we got to figure it out. We need to figure. Okay, I need some help, guys. Let's stop what we're talking about here, and let's figure it out. Right now, I have an AT&T account. I've got a year left on it. I'll pay the $150 and leave it if that's the right thing to do. But I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I also have a Sprint account that doesn't have a contract right now. I've got a serial plan, so I don't know that I've got really any way to go with that to get an Android device and keep the serial plan. In fact, I know it's not possible.
No.
So if I were to do anything with Sprint, I'm going to have to get some contract that's going to be like, you know, twice as much at the very least or more. And I'm not sure I'm willing to do that. So I'm kind of focusing on the AT&T account on as far as what my next device is going to be. The Nexus One obviously seems like the easy way to go. That's $575 for a device that's 6 months old, and at this point, is that really what I want to do? I don't know. So, what do you do? You know, I've got a Verizon account too, but that's got the BlackBerry on it, and that's a work account. So we're just gonna leave that one separate. So, I'm at a loss, and I really don't know what to do. And I feel like it has to be some sort of Android device next. And I saw the Aria this week. And it's nice and it's small, but you know, it's just kind of okay. So maybe I wait for the Captivate, or maybe I try and figure out something else. So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
I heard a wise
I wouldn't go Aria.
Uh-oh.
Well, I wouldn't. Nor. I mean, I just would. It's small. I'd go, I mean, if you want to stick with AT&T, get a Nexus One, get the Captivate. You know, I think the Epic on Sprint is going to be Epic because it is.
Yeah, but if you're in an area with 4G, which I am not.
No, that's true. That's true.
Which I am not. And I really have a problem spending, which is what, $69 plus an additional $10, so, you know, $79 plus tax, $90 for a device that, you know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know. I'm just having a really hard time with it. So that's why I keep right. going back to the Nexus One. And
Sprint fans, that was Mickey Papillon. That was the little meh. So, you know.
Yeah. I also don't have great Sprint service at home, but when I travel, it's great. That's what I'm using right now for an internet connection is my Sprint account. So I tether through that. But,
well, Mickey, since we've interrupted the entire podcast to figure this out. When you get an Android phone, are you going to root it or are you just going to sit there and say, hey, this works good. I'm just going to use it because that's the deciding factor.
If you know, I saw a comment, I saw a comment in the chat room earlier. We need to deflect Mickey. Are you going to root your phone over to Phil? When are you going to get your new TV that's got an HDMI port on it?
If you have no desire to hook it up to the computer and tinker with it and screw around with it, get the Captivate.
Yep.
If you want to be able to play with it and do really stupid things and run the risk of blowing it up and
Nexus.
Yeah, get the Nexus. Yep. That way you can email everybody you know at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, my boss's Nexus won't boot. You know,
See, but you're also assuming that I'm going to want to hook it up to a Windows computer, which I am not.
Oh, no. You can use a Mac computer for just about everything on, you know, okay. If you know how to use one of those crazy toys.
What a Mac. I would like that crazy. Come on.
I don't know.
All I got to say is during the time I had my Nexus One, it was so nice not to have to even think about hooking it up to a computer because I never did because everything that I wanted to do on it, I could do over the air, and that was great. So, yeah, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time. You know, another Nexus. Here's where I'm at. Is I look at it and I say, since January when this thing first came out, how much have the specs really changed? The Evo, the Incredible, the Droid X, the Galaxy S variants are all 1 gigahertz processors. At the max, we're seeing an 8-megapixel camera. The Nexus is a 5-megapixel camera. 512 megs of RAM. Really? Nothing has increased in the last 6 months. I mean, it's still right on with the specs that you need to get. But it still feels old because I've had one and I've sold it. And it's been 3 months since I sold it, you know? So it's hard. I don't know what to do.
Buy them both.
Buy them both. What, that and what? And the Captivate?
Yeah. And decide which one you want and then eBay the other.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You know, we were talking about the styling of the Captivate before, and that really has me a little bit. It looks a little too stormish. So, I don't know.
I think we're done, Phil.
We're done, Phil. I'm sorry.
No, keep going.
Did you get my email? Phil, did you get my email?
I got several emails from you, Mickey.
But, I mean, did you get my email about, is my phone getting froyo, or what's going to happen with that?
Let's talk OS updates for a minute, please, if it's okay. let's see. Droid Eris reportedly is getting an update on July 16th. Hey, that's Friday. That's tomorrow. So that would be cool. It's not 2.1. Sorry. Still
but it,
waiting. Are we still waiting
fixes,
on that?
If it fixes the things that need fixing, it's just as good.
Well, there you
because
go.
Because, you know, a lot of people like the Eris. You know, it's basically the Hero. I like the Hero. I like that form factor. And the bugs do need taken care of.
Let's see. What else? The G2 in the UK. That is, what is that, the Euro version of the
Yeah, that's Hero? The pretty Hero.
Yeah. It's getting an OTA update to Android 2.1. Woohoo! Cyanogen released an we've already seen it demoed several times, several places. Released his CyanogenMod 6.0. It's a release candidate. It's not final yet, whatever. When are they ever final? But I've been rocking it for a week now. Love it.
Yep, me too. I abandoned playing with my own and putting in his on.
And you can run that on the Nexus One, the Dream, and the Magic. And I think there's already a port for the Droid as well, correct? Pretty sure.
And there's a test one for the Incredible. You know, I don't know how functional it is.
Oh, yeah, I did see that today. You're right. And then there's this weird thing going on with Aria where it's an update to HTC Sync, which I've never even used that software, to be honest, that for a little while at least allowed you to sideload apps, although apparently that's been turned off again, and also enables network sharing, so that's cool. And the Droid, we're still waiting on an official Android 2.1, or a 2.1, 2.2 update. There was that July 13th date that was rumored, but was never confirmed by anybody. It was just so-and-so told us that it's going to be the 13th, and it's not. As long as we're talking about so-and-so told us, I saw something today in a thing I belong to about somebody had mentioned that he works in the OTA facility that pushes these out, and they haven't even seen a release candidate build of Froyo for the Droid yet. So take that however you want. We're not doing a post on it or anything. So we shall see. We continue to wait. You think it's going to come? You think they're going to let it die? I don't think so.
No, they can't. There would be pitchforks and fire and all kinds of crazy hell if they do. And if you and I know that, they know it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's that. We're just still kind of waiting for Froyo to make its way around to everybody else. You know, it will eventually. It's going to take a little time. Look, I mean, it's still less than a month that the Android 2.2 code has been released, right, to developers. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take a little time. Let's talk apps. We got a lot of good app news and recommendations, and I know people are always asking for good apps, so here you go. Fring and Skype got ugly late last week. Fring says, hey, too many people like it now. Yeah, mainly because it was updated for the iPhone. Too many people like this voice chat thing, and we're going to have to pull Skype interaction for a little while. So don't worry about it. It'll be back. And then the next day he came back and said, Skype are a bunch of nasty names, and we don't like them very much, and they say we can't play. And Skype came back the next day and said, what the hell are you talking about? You guys are breaking the rules. It's been this back and forth and just, like, okay, whatever. You know, you guys play nice, and let's figure it out. But until then, we can't use Skype on Fring. That sucks. Jerry, you want to talk about Vlingo? That got a cool little add-on today.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's it kind of like mixes in an application like Point or Wear and a Yellow Pages app mixed right into a dialer. And it's, you know, it's all voice control. You can hit a button now, and I just say, I was going to Sears, so I used it as an example, call Sears. Hmm. Showed me the Sears that are in the area, and you can select it. You can either call them, or you can, you know, you get navigation instructions. It's a really cool update for a really cool app. And if you haven't checked it out, you all need to. I mean, we've got a 24-hour return policy on the market, and don't take my word for it, because Vlingo is an app that you need to try for yourself. And I mean,
no
that's,
greater
that's,
recommendation than that, I think.
I love it. I've used it on all my smartphones that had it, and you know, I'm a firm believer, but it's never been as good as it is for Android with this new update. And I'll say that to anybody that asks.
Very briefly, let's talk about the Astro File Manager. So this is a free file manager, or kind of was, still is, that we've all been using for a long time. Well, this past week they updated and put ads on the thing. And a lot of people freaked out. I'm going to find another app, and I don't want ads. And they said, well, hang on a minute. We're going to have an ad-free version, and it's, what, like $2 or something like that, $2 or $3. And, you know, people are still kind of upset that they did it. I got no problem with it at all.
No, Jerry, I'm glad to be able to give them $3. It's the program I use the most out of any that I have installed.
Mickey, I mean, do you have a problem with the developer switching over like that?
I think there's got to be a way for them to monetize what they're doing. And whether it's through a paid version of the application or a free version of the application with ads, I think either way is an okay way to go. And so you've got to decide what you want to do as the end user. And if it's use a free program and deal with the ads, that's what you're going to do. Or give them $3. It's $3. It's not exactly like we're asking for a lot. You know, app costs are very interesting. Think about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, before, you know, Apple just brought this amount, you know, the application price down to, you know, if it's anything over 99 cents, oh my gosh, why am I spending more than 99 cents? We were spending $10, $15, $30 for applications on mobile devices and didn't really think twice about it. So I think $3 is very, very fair for an application that's so powerful.
I agree. What else? Bing is coming probably in the next few weeks, I heard, or months, I forget which. But they're working on it. Microsoft's working on it. Bing! Opera Mini 5.1 is final, if you're a big fan of the Opera browser, and it's a very good browser. I need to try it again. I haven't tried it in a while. And I loved Opera back on Windows Mobile days. The SwiftKey keyboard, I think we've demoed that before, haven't we, Jerry?
Yeah, we talked about that once before. It's out there now. I love
it. It's in beta. It's now in the Android market. You can get it. It's a very good keyboard. It's a lot like the HTC keyboard, but the text prediction is just awesome. Not that HTC's is bad, but the text prediction in SwiftKey is just incredible.
It's kind of
IMDb.
Scary.
Yeah, it is. IMDb app, the Internet Movie Database that we all know from the desktop browser side, is now available in Android. That's cool. I've loaded it up. I'm using it. Seismic for Android updated. It's now Seismic for Android. Supports Google Buzz, OAuth, some UI tweaks. Very nice. I'm a big fan of Seismic. That's what I use. Fox News now has an app in Android, and I tell you, you commenters just couldn't help yourself. Look, I mean, I come from a newspaper. I know what comments get, and they're still nowhere near as bad as they are newspaper stories, but man, you guys wasted no time, did you? Just can't help yourselves. Anyway, whatever. It's good to see another news app. I like that. ADW Launcher is now at 1.0. I like it. I'm using it. It's a lot smoother now. It's a lot faster.
And it has a way to support that developer as well through paid themes.
Yes.
So if you've been using it, you know, the themes don't really float your boat. I like the way it looks stock, but I bought them just to support Andrew Webbs. He's a great guy. And he kept the application 100% open source, and he'll help you port it over to any device or any custom ROM that you want. So let's support that guy.
Guys in the chat room are asking, what's ADW? Look, when you ask if you can turn off Sense or if you can turn off Motoblur or if you can turn off whatever, don't worry about turning it off. Just load up one of these launchers on top of it. That's actually what I have on the Droid X right now, so it looks almost like stock Android. And it runs really well, especially the new version, which has gotten a lot faster. So that's what we recommend, is just throw another launcher on there. Some of the older phones, you might have a little bit of trouble, but the new one's running just fine. And we found a cool little live wallpaper from the developer of that Advanced Maps live wallpaper, and this one will suck in all the music that's on your phone and spit out album covers as a live wallpaper, so that's kind of cool. Although, Jerry and I don't have enough cool music to show up on it, apparently.
No, none of my Hank Williams songs would show up.
Some quick Google news. They did their second quarter earnings today. Revenue was up 24% over the second quarter last year. Still not quite up to expectations of Wall Street, but whatever. Google's not going anywhere. They did talk very briefly about Android. Said, you know, the cost of doing the Nexus One was just a non-issue, you know, and in the life of Google, right? I mean, that's a drop in the bucket, not a big deal at all. They also said the market is officially above 70,000 applications. That's 30,000 fewer than what AndroLib is reporting right now. Whatever, because we're still talking just a buttload of, you know, probably illegal ringtones and sexy lady number 357 and just craps. That's what we're calling them.
358.
C-R-A-P-P-S. Yeah. And Google unveiled the Android App Inventor this week. It's a lot like the Palm Ares web-based you know, little developer thingy, and you just drag and drop and everything works, and I can't wait to try this. You gotta wait till they, you know, turn on your account for it. But I've signed up for it, and I would love to be able to try to make a quick app through this thing.
Yep. It ought to be fun.
So, should we give away a phone or do some voicemail and email? I don't know, what's the chat room think?
Let's do a giveaway. I like a giveaway.
Should we give away the phone?
People have been
waiting. Well, now I have to go pick somebody. All right, let's see. We're going to do this live.
50 viewers. That's amazing.
Nah, that's not enough. All right, let's see.
Jeez.
That's a good start. Android Central's free DroidX giveaway. Let's see. We have 2,616 responses. So, and we're doing this live here, guys. I haven't figured it out yet. I don't know who's winning. Random.org. 2616. All right, you ready? There's the number. So now I gotta go find who it is. All right, and the winner is, I'm about to paste your name in the chat. Here it comes. Here it comes.
Diggity.
Diggity. You win.
Diggity.
Congrats. All right, you want to do some email? No, congrats to Diggity. That's awesome. And we will absolutely be giving away more phones. I'm not sure how we're going to do the Galaxy S stuff, or if we will, but rest assured, this is not the last phone we're giving away. There will be more. Maybe I'll give away another one of my phones. I don't know. Hey, I gave away my Q9H. Did I tell you that?
Yep.
It's gone.
Heard about that.
I miss
more
it.
More Q9H.
All right. Anyway, back to the podcast. Should we do some? You do a voicemail real quick. We got one voicemail.
Sounds good.
Let's do a voicemail. Let me find the voicemail. Let me try to remember how to do a voicemail. All right. This is John from New York.
Hi. This message is for the Android Central podcast. This is John from New York City. Question about the Nexus One. I'm thinking about the Droid X. But it's a bit large, and somehow the Nexus One appeals to me more. My question is, barring the size of the screen, is the Nexus One spec-wise as good as the Droid X, meaning in terms of upgrading to Froyo and just internals? Is it as good? That's my question. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Not quite spec-wise, but it's still pretty darn good, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's still a, you know, it's still a contender.
That's all.
Oh, yeah, there's not much more to say. Well, you know, when the holidays come around and where gingerbread gets thrown around, everybody with a Nexus One is going to get to gloat for a couple weeks, just like we did, you know, a month ago.
Yes, we
because
are.
It's gonna, the Nexus One will get it first. In the future, you know, what's coming up, no idea if the Nexus One specs will meet that. But, you know, if the Droid X does, I would think that the Nexus One would also, because they're close to the same hardware.
Yep. I'm still happy with it. I'm not getting rid of it anytime soon. Despite everything. Despite all the other awesome phones. All right, let's do some emails and we'll get out of here, huh?
All right, I'll take it. Anthony writes, I had written previously about concerns with Exchange and security. I've been told by a company's IT department that, quote, the concern is that the Android OS devices as they currently exist do not support ActiveSync security policies. Those include password restrictions, remote password change, remote wipe in the event that the device is lost, content encryption, and about 24 more policies. This is why they don't want to support the device. Can you explain why some of the ActiveSync can you explain some of these ActiveSync policies, and is good an option? I'm assuming he's talking about was it GoodLink or whatever it's called?
The email service, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I would say for this one that yeah, it's you know, Android is certainly a different kind of animal when it comes to this, and you know, there are very simple ways to get ActiveSync Exchange services on your device, but the policies are not there. But I think they're coming, but yeah, they're not there. I don't know. I don't use ActiveSync on a Nexus and or an Android device. I didn't when I had mine, so I guess I can't talk to that. Either of you have it?
Froyo is going to make a big difference. Support for a lot more of the security policies. But, I mean, the number one thing you need to do, and, you know, which just kind of sucks, and I understand why you wouldn't want to do it, is talk to your IT guys, because they're the gatekeepers. Don't go talk to the main one. Find, like, the guy who sits in the corner, you know, doesn't really talk to people too much,
yep,
or talks to them too much. There's not really an in-between. Find him or her, and talk to him or her and be like, hey, look, you know, I got an Android thing. I know it's not technically supported, but, you know, just what's the server? You know, just tell me the server. That's all you need. And you know, back when the Palm Pre came out, you know, I saw a note from my company that said, hey, look, we know it's out. We don't support it yet. Sorry. You know, that's just the way it is. So, you know, there are ways around it, but you're still kind of at the mercy of your IT department. That's the way it is. Let's see. John from Pearsall, Texas.
You skipped
I've been
one.
Wanting... Huh?
You skipped one.
All right. Well, I skipped one.
You skipped one. We'll get it back.
Right.
You go ahead. I'll get that one next.
I've been wanting to get an Android phone since the G1, but sadly I cannot afford to be locked into a contract. I'm 15 years old. I was wondering if you could tell me, is there a cheap Android phone that I could purchase? I love to hack and mess with electronics. I currently have a modded PSP that I'm trying to sell to help fund getting an Android phone. I mean, the best thing you can do probably is, what, eBay? Craigslist?
eBay.
And just get what you know, Android Central Contest?
Yeah, that's
find what you can find.
But, yeah, for what he wants, you know, a used first-generation device would be cheap and a great way for him to get started doing what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. And I'll bet he can pick one of those up for almost next to nothing, especially with all these new phones rolling out.
Agreed.
Okay, I'll go back, since we skipped one. Francis writes, why do so many apps require full internet access? If it's ad-supported, then fair enough, but most devs just tracking my stats, my location, my phone type, etc. I'm starting to get a bit paranoid about the info about myself that I'm leaking out via all these apps. I understand that most devs are trustworthy, but you know, one just can't tell what someone will do with my location or phone data. Also, the internet access that all these apps want makes it hard for me to stay on top of how much data I'm uploading or downloading. That's a good question. That's why I didn't want to skip it. And I really, you know, I don't have an answer for you, but there's lots and lots of things that could just say full internet access. Anything that works with any of your Google services is going to need full internet access. You know, a lot of things that tie into your contacts, because your contacts are synced with Google, are going to need full internet access. And it's full internet access doesn't mean that the application is full blown connected all the time, downloading and uploading data. It just means that it needs access to all the, you know, the functions and things you can do through the internet. It's going to depend on the individual app what that means, because it's kind of all lumped together. But when you install a program, it gives you the big, you know, three or four things there in orange. Down at the bottom, there's another button you can push, and it lists everything one at a time, exactly what it can and can't do. And that's where your answer is going to lie. Take the time. If you're, you know, you're a little paranoid, I can understand. Look through everything that the application's going to be able to do. And you'll be able to see, I can see why it would need internet access, because it is able to change my Google Voice phone, you know, switch from which handset I'm using. And it's things like that. And they lump it together under the term full internet access. So, you know, it's, I guess it's more of a word fail than, you know, an application trying to be sneaky and steal all your information.
There you go. All right, Mickey.
All right, Steven writes, when I connected my Droid Incredible to a computer, it would be set to charge only, and I would have no problem. Now, still set to charge only, I get a dialog box on my computer asking me what I want to do with this new drive. This wouldn't be a problem except when I'm listening to your podcast, Beyond Pod, it suddenly disconnects from the SD card and loses the file. Even after disconnecting Beyond Pod, it says that I have to re-download the podcast. Any ideas, Steven? I'm trying to think of how, I'm guessing this is on a Windows machine, and I'm trying to think of what the easiest way to go about to do that is. If you can maybe go with
well, in the Droid Incredible is a little different too, because make sure it's, let's see, no, it should be saving to the SD card. It's a little different because it has that internal storage. Yeah, try Google Listen. That's what I would do.
Or
look, no, and I love Beyond Pod. Yeah, or double twist.
I'll bet you've got double. I'll bet he has double twist on.
Yes.
And a function of double twist is to automatically connect so it can sync everything. I don't love that part.
It automatically mounts your SD card on the computer.
Yeah, so you can fire up double sync on the computer and do your syncing.
Someone here says hold shift when you plug it in. Maybe that will stop it from mounting the drive.
Oh yeah.
Never tried that before.
Well, then it's got to be true if somebody says it in our chat room.
That's right.
Our chat room would never lead us astray.
And the reason that he has to re-download after he remounts, it didn't rescan the card. If he would remount and wait 10 minutes, it would be there and wouldn't need downloaded again. You just have to give the system time to go back and rescan all the media.
You can also, tell DoubleTwist to not do that, which is probably the easiest thing. Let's see, Henry, a.k.a. The X Factor, in the forums, I assume, writes, I'm coming from WebOS and a pre, yeah, that's right, with the Evo being my first Android device. I'm thinking about getting the Epic 4G when it comes out. Is there any way to transfer my apps? I plan on using both devices. I know with Palm, you're not allowed to have the same Palm profile on two devices. Are there similar constraints on Android regarding apps? Also, if you have time, how can a brother get movies on the Evo? No, absolutely. I don't even know what the limit is. I have, 1, 2, 3, 4... Is that all? I only have 4 phones synced right now. No, 5 phones all synced up, with my Google account right now. And I can put any app on any one of them. Not a problem. At all. And with Froyo, you're going to be able to transfer the app data, too. So not just the app itself, but like save states, high scores, whatever, stuff like that. As far as getting movies on your phone, we'll put a link in the show notes to a great piece Jerry did a few months ago about getting movies onto your stuff.
Yeah, and we were just talking about Double Twist a minute ago. Mm-hmm, it has that flaky thing we were talking about, but Double Twist does a great job just copying movies over in a format that'll play well on the Evo. That's what I use.
Yep.
Okay, the next one here is Ernesto writes, can I use a Verizon Droid on Sprint since both are CDMA phones? No, and that's the stupidest thing in the world, but no, you can't. Sprint and Verizon do not allow each other's phones to be activated on their network. There's no technical reason why it doesn't work. It's a business decision. And we've been
Didn't Verizon have some like great awakening last year where they were supposed to open up to everything and didn't?
That's what they said.
We're not going to talk about this. They've completely forgot about that, and we're just moving on with life.
Sorry, I brought it up.
Ernesto, there are ways to do it. You've got to flash the software. You've got to do all sorts of funky things, and just
that we probably shouldn't talk about.
It's not good.
But one thing that we can talk about is if you have a friend that works for Verizon or Sprint, it can be done very easily. I have no idea how, but I used to have a friend who could just do that for me. Right, no flashing, no anything.
Yeah, I guess you don't really need to flash. It's an ESN thing. You have to have I can't remember what it is. The MSL code is what it is.
And sorry, that was my nerd
on
alert.
Verizon, the MSL is pretty easy. It's 6 zeros.
Sorry.
You know what? It's over.
That'll never be over.
Done. Just uninstall it. It's done.
Somebody in the chat room suggested it. Let's talk about Pat.
Pat's got a good question, which one of you two is going to have to answer because I don't have the answer for it. And he says, I have a Droid Aris now and would love to stick with an Android phone. Do you think the Captivate with its Hummingbird processor and 4-inch Super AMOLED screen is now the phone to beat on AT&T? What else do you see coming down the pike for AT&T? Well, I see potentially another Android device coming maybe later this year before the holidays, otherwise early 2011, but who knows what that's going to be. I don't have any sort of crystal ball to tell you, but maybe one of you two does.
I ask you when I get those questions, maybe.
It would not surprise me to see... It would not surprise me to see another HTC phone or two or three by the end of the year. Would not surprise me in the least.
I'll tell you what, on that note, Android is getting as popular as we all want it to be. I'll bet next year AT&T has a little bit different outlook for Android phones. And they're going to try to keep track with all the other carriers and get better phones and, you know, maybe even unlock a little bit more than what they've got them locked up. That's just my guess.
I think it's a good one. And with that, I'm sticking a fork in the podcast. We are done.
Is that my cue?
Do you want it to be? I could do something else. Let me think if I have anything laying around here that could be a cue for something.
If you have any questions, be sure to email us podcast@androidcentral.com, or you can leave us a voicemail 888-468-6158 extension 222. That's 888-468-6158 extension 222. You can follow all of us on Twitter. The site is at Android Central. Phil is at Phil Mickinson. I am at TCPJ underscore Mickey. And Jerry is at GB Hill. That's GBHIL. And there's also a list over at Android Central where you can follow the list of all the other writers. The entire show is brought to you by the Android Central store, found at store.androidcentral.com. And you can give us a call, 888-468-6158, to place your order.
Hey, speaking of the store, everything is still 10% off. So those of you guys who stuck around the chat room, you get to know it. So if you go to the Android Central store, everything remains 10% off. If you just use the code EVO4G on checkout, EVO4G, that's it. Put it in there when you check out and you get 10% off your whole order. Cool.
Nice
of them. Like it. So go buy stuff, because they're the ones who let us do what we do. Mickey, Jerry, thank you. Chat room, thank you. Incredible chat room as always, I guess. Is Mickey mad at me now?
Why would I be mad? I'm not mad.
Okay.
I think he's just plotting his revenge.
I'm sorry I blew my vuvuzela at you.
You know what? It's not that. It's the rooting. I don't even have a phone to root. How would I root one of these old busted down phones that I'm using right now? It's embarrassing,
it
really, is what it is.
All right, chat room. Mickey, Jerry, say goodnight.
Night.
Thanks, everyone.
Let's see y'all next week.